Fellow Freedom fans, David Alan Carmichael here. You are listening to a very important previously broadcast Faith and Freedom show. Stand by, listen up, take notes.
Hey, Jason. Jason. Yeah, you, Jason. Jason, you're listening. Jason, I'm going to stoop to a new low today. Jason is somebody who's been faithful to give me feedback via our website, faithfreedoms.org. He's actually listened to some of our shows. Either he checked in later after a show and tuned into some of the things that we've said. But faithfreedoms.net, I've got some things there. And again, I've probably just freaked people out today with some of the things I've talked about. And we can't get it all in one session. And I guess I'm extremely nice over the radio. And today, for whatever reason, it's just something pushed my button today. And it's kind of frustrating. I think, you know, you go into the Bible and you find the day when Jesus saw these guys making the place of worship, the house of the Lord, as a place of merchandise. And he got so ticked off that he took a whip and he started chasing people out by whacking the whip at them. Whether he hit them or not, I'm not really sure. Of course, he had the authority to do that. He, of all people, had the authority to do it. And he exercised it. And you could tell he was frustrated. He says, "You've turned this house of prayer into a den of thieves." And he purged the place. And you know, there's a certain amount of indignation, and it's kind of unpleasant. It's not real happy. It's not real comfortable. So today I've been kind of indignant, and I apologize for venting too much. And one day I indulged myself and had a interview with Ralph Carmichael, and that was fun. And that's up on the internet. That was awesome. I just indulged myself. It was a really upbeat, really happy show. And so today I committed, I gave an oath to tell a story today at this 420 segment. And I wish I had set it up with a nice, bright, happy story before going into it. I'm not going to take a call right now. I'm going to give you a story. This is something that happened. I talked to some youth yesterday. This really happened to me. I was teaching a class. I've told this story before. I told people that I was teaching a class to people, giving free intro to computers and word processing. And one of the organizations that I taught one time, they called me up as Youth Challenge, and they have these folks there in rehabilitation program. It's faith-based. That's what they do, is they take a biblical approach to delivering people from their addictions, drug addictions. And in fact, this was kind of modeled after and grew out of Teen Challenge, that has an 83 to 85% recidivism. Or non-recidivism, or whatever you call it, where you've got 83 to 85% of the people who go through the program actually kick the habit or are successful. Nothing like it in the country. And that's what started the faith-based initiatives. They went and saw this Teen Challenge program and said, "Hey, these guys are doing it right. Why don't we give them money?" Well, you're not supposed to, because guess the reason why they're doing it right is because it's supernatural. It's religion. And you're not allowed to give money to religion. Guess what? They don't need your money anyway. They've been doing great without you. Get your clutching hands off of it and don't try to take credit for somebody else, something that God is doing, right? So that's Youth Challenge, is one of these organizations that's effective like that. So they have this program, three-step program kind of thing, where you have three phases. This was the latest phase of the program. They asked me if I would come teach a class to some of their Youth Challenge people that were coming to graduation shortly. There were six people in my class, so I had a class set aside just for them. And they sat through the first half, and these were young people who had a lot of computer training, so it's more like an advanced class. I had to really be on my toes, make sure I was a good subject matter expert, giving them a very worthwhile experience. Of course, they're not paying for this. This is all free. They're just doing it. It's an act of faith, an act of love, and being supported divinely. After the first hour, I take a 10-minute break, and then I tell them I have a 10-minute sermonette time, and I get to talk to you. And that's the cost. I get 10 minutes of your time every two-hour session where I'm going to talk to you about my faith in Jesus. So that's what was the topic. So that was what I was doing. So I go off on my break, and I'm thinking of all these nifty little stories. You know, I thought to myself, man, these guys are going to be a tough crowd. Tough. They know their computers already. So I got to give them advanced class. And they get preached to every day. They get at least one sermon a day, man. These guys are sermoned out, and they've been in the program for 9 months. So what am I going to say that's unique and innovative that'll be inspiring and won't make them let it go to sleep? And then it occurred to me, oh my goodness, I thought, well, I can got this story. I got some funny, fancy stories I can tell that'll be kind of neat and kind of attractive. And all of a sudden I thought, well, that's just blowing your horn, man. That's useless. That's just an act of men. That's not going to help redeem their lives. It's just going to be entertaining. So I, all of a sudden, I was in a panic. What do I do? I got a tough crowd. So I went off in the other room and I prayed. I got down on my face and I had initially a one-way conversation. It became two-way. I got down on my face and I literally said verbally out loud, because nobody was in the room I was in, I said, God, Almighty God, I need a word from you. I need you to speak to me. I need you to tell me what to say to these people, Lord. These guys get a sermon every day, and I don't want to just waste my time. I don't want to waste their time. Lord, I need a word. I need you to tell me specifically what to say. That's what I did. And I just laid there. I was on my face, you know, kind of leaning up, my hand up, my chin on my hand on my chin, just kind of holding my head up there and praying. And all of a sudden, I heard something from Almighty God, Ananias and Sapphira. And it hits me like, what's that? What kind of goofy thought is that? I get Ananias. I have this overwhelming, just Ananias and Sapphira. And I kind of shake it off. And I'll say, wait a minute, I'm praying. I asked God to speak to me. He just spoke to me, Ananias and Sapphira. So I kind of go, okay. And I start to think about the story of Ananias and Sapphira and how they had sold some property and come back and told that, oh, we sold the property for this much. And they give it to the new church, they give it to Peter. And they told them they sold it for a certain amount when actually they were lying. They gave it for a certain amount. They could have said, hey, we sold it for $100,000 and here's $50,000. But what they did is they said they ended up selling it for $100,000, but they said, we sold this for $50,000. Here's the $50,000. And they lied. Well, Ananias walks up and he tells a story and to Peter, and Peter says, hey, why are you lying? Why are you lying to the Holy Spirit? You're not lying to men, you're lying to God. And he fell dead. He just fell dead right in front of him. They took him out and buried him. And then Sapphira was in on it with him, the guy's wife, and Peter sees her 3 hours later and he says, hey, did you guys sell this property? You sold it for this and this much? She says, yes, for this and this much. And he says, hey, the guys that carried your husband out are sitting here waiting for you. Boom, she falls dead. Now, man didn't kill her. God extracted their lives then because it was a very bad thing to be happening, right? Very big pollution was now happening in the operation of the church with what they were doing. So I'm thinking about that. I'm thinking about the story and what I should convey. And all of a sudden I get this sense of I'm in sin. I'm doing an evil, wicked thing by contemplating what to tell these people. And all of a sudden it occurs to me, God, you just want me to walk in the room and say Ananias and Sapphira? I mean, you actually literally want me to walk in the room and say Ananias and Sapphira? And Almighty God, you may think I'm schizophrenic, confirmed to me in this dialogue that's exactly what I was supposed to do. I asked for a word and he gave me a word and I was supposed to walk in and say it. Now you may think I'm crazy, but I got to tell you what happened. So I'm ticked off. I'll tell you my response was, I don't know if you guys have seen Fiddler on the Roof and Topol or whatever guy's name, if I were a rich man, you know, that guy on the other hand. You know, he would talk to God. He would be a one-way, he'd be monologue. He'd say, Lord, you want me to do what? Well, that, and he would think of the negative, and then he would go, but on the other hand, and he would think of the other, I'll go with it. Tradition. Okay, so that was that. You saw this example of somebody talking to God, but I was having a two-way conversation. I said, God, give me a word. He gives me a word, Ananias and Sapphira. Then I say, no way. I'm going to look like an idiot, Lord. I mean, can't you cut me some slack? Can I at least just go tell the story? Nope. I want you to go and say Ananias and Sapphira. And I'm just really humiliated. And I'm arguing. I'm arguing with the person who I asked to give me a word. Okay? Creator of heaven and earth. And I'm going to argue. So I'm so humiliated. Now, you know what? I go in the room. And instead of saying Ananias and Sapphira, you say, oh, this guy's like super religious and spiritual. Oh, what a metaphysical guy. I'm telling you, I haven't got enough courage to actually just do what God says. So I'm not like above anybody. What I'm telling you is this is a real life situation that happened. So I walk in there and because of my wickedness, I pulled what we see in the Bible. I mean, even Moses did this. God said, speak to the rock to have the water come out. And Moses had had a different situation where he'd done this in public before, and he struck the rock. Well, so all of a sudden he strikes the rock a couple of times, and then I guess he speaks to it, and the water came out. But you know what? Because he hit the thing with a stick as a preparation instead of just speaking to it, his penalty was he was not allowed to go in the promised land. Now, watch what I do. I walk in there. I literally have this supernatural, wild and crazy, miraculous experience where I ask God to tell me something. He does. I walk in this room, and instead of saying, Ananias and Sapphira, right? You know, I walk in, I said, hey, guys, I need your attention. As soon as I spoke anything other than Ananias and Sapphira, I'm actually in trouble. I'm actually doing the wrong thing. But so I walk in there, I said, you know, you guys listen to sermonettes every day. And, you know, and I just realized, and I prayed the Lord, and I said, Lord, and I'm feeling guilty while I'm speaking. What I'm saying is good stuff, but I feel like I feel very guilty, and I ought to be. And so I said, so I asked God for a word. It's like striking the rock two times instead of just speaking to it. And then I said, Ananias and Sapphira. Well, let me tell you, man, I'm sure it would have been better had I just walked in and said Ananias and Sapphira and then said after the fact, God told me to tell that. That would have been better. I would have had a much greater impact on my audience if I came in and said those powerful words. It turns out in two people's lives in that room, they had a problem going on that there's no way for me to know about. Had I gone in there and said that, and then after the fact said, I went and asked God what to tell me, he told me that. Man, they would have been in fear and trembling, right? Well, watch what happens. I say Ananias and Sapphira, and these two girls on my left literally went, oh! I mean, they made noise. They doubled over, both of them, leaned toward each other, started crying, and then like doing a what should we do? What should we do? Panic kind of conversation. They were trying to keep it as low as they possibly could to not include us in their conversation. But they were literally emotionally, psychologically, and in a panic just falling apart right there. And the other guys, by the way, are sitting around. They're trying to distract themselves from this weird thing that's happening over there. And some guy says, oh, I know that story. It's about such and such. And the guy next to him says, no, that's not it. It's about such and such. And then the guy next to him says, no, that's not it. It's about such and such. I said, no, actually, you're all wrong. And then I began to tell them, the rest of the class, the other 1, 2, 3, 4 people, about the story of Ananias and Sapphira and the significance. And as I'm going through this story, these two ladies who are already, I thought, were in meltdown beyond reality, it got more intense. This stuff just kept just falling on them like just great conviction. Something they were dealing with, obviously something that they said that was not true, and they were being busted. That really happened, folks. Either it's just a weird coincidence that I just walk off, go pray, and say, God, you need to speak to me and give me a word, and he gives me, well, give me two words, no, three, with the conjunction junction, right? Ananias and Sapphira. I walk in, did it wrongly because of my fear and lack of faith. Our freedom comes in proportion to our faith. And I said it, and you know what? It ended up, I'll tell you what, those ladies got right with God, and they got right with whatever they had to get with before our next class. That stuff really happens. I had to tell you that because you may be somebody's agnostic or atheist or something, and you don't believe in this stuff. Well, you certainly have no firsthand knowledge about the supernatural hearing the voice of the person who created the birds that you're hearing singing. And the wonderful trees that you see being green with an albedo effect of 0.2, is the blessing of an increase of CO2, and will increase the CO2 as we get blessed with more green things. See, you're not picking it up rationally, that there's something bigger than you that designed DNA. But I just wanted to tell that experience so that folks will have something a little bit brighter to listen to today than my incessant skepticism and irritation and all that other kind of stuff. I want you to give me a call at 888-850-1872. We're going to talk about the issues of the day on a constitutional basis, a biblical basis, a basis of right versus wrong. Our number here is 888-850-1872. Don't forget, folks, liberty works.